GAM's international lobbying activities were, at best, ad hoc. Achenese students scattered around the world, inflamed by the violence in their homeland, organized chapters and agitated for attention. From Sweden, Hassan de Tiro and his aides ran a makeshift political and communications campaign. In Gelbard's judgment, they showed no realistic attitude or skillful diplomatic strategy, and apparently preferred the morally repugnant and totally flawed position that losing is winning, i.e., less dialogue and more violence and atrocities might win international sympathy. GAM-aligned students won visas to study in the United States or were resettled there as refugees. One cluster of younger refugees lived in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, about 2 hours' drive northwest from Washington. That group took advantage of its proximity to the capital to try to win appointments with anyone who would listen to them. They had few allies. In 2001, an Achenese student activist named Faisal knocked, out of the blue, on the DuPont Circle door of Terry Collingsworth's office. Collingsworth was then general counsel of the International Labor Rights Forum, a nonprofit that campaigned against child labor and sweatshops in developing countries. Collingsworth belonged to a network of American human rights lawyers who employed novel legal arguments and a previously obscure 18th-century law, the Alien Tort Claims Act, to sue corporations, individuals, and governments for civil damages arising from human rights atrocities overseas. In 1997, he had supported a lawsuit, Doe versus Unocal, in which 13 Burmese villagers asserted that they had been forced at gunpoint by the Burmese military to build a pipeline for Union Oil Company of California. One of Collingsworth's assistants, who happened to speak the Indonesian language of Bahasa, took the meeting. Faisal, it turned out, had heard of the Unocal lawsuit and explained that he had a case just like it involving Exxon, Collingsworth recalled being told. The lawyer flew to Aceh within 2 weeks. Traveling secretly with local activists, Collingsworth snuck into the villages on the edges of the Indonesian military's defensive perimeter around Lok Simaway and took notes during interviews with victims and witnesses. That June, just as Robert Gelbard succeeded in his unpublicized campaign to persuade GAM not to target ExxonMobil any longer, Collingsworth and his colleagues filed John Doe 1 et al. Versus ExxonMobil Corporation et al. In United States District Court in Washington, D.C. The lawsuit drew upon the allegations of 11 Achenese villagers, whose names were withheld to protect them from TNI reprisals. The Achenese plaintiffs lived in the vicinity of the ExxonMobil gas fields. Plaintiff John Doe 1 alleged that in January 2001, while riding his bicycle cart to the local market to sell his vegetables, he was accosted by soldiers who were assigned to ExxonMobil's TNI Unit 113. The soldiers shot him in the wrist, threw a hand grenade at him, and then left him for dead. John Doe 2 alleged that soldiers from the same unit beat him, took him to Rankong Camp near the gas fields, and detained and tortured him there for a period of 3 months, all the while keeping him blindfolded. Later the soldiers removed his blindfold, took him outside, and showed him a large pit where there was a large pile of human heads. The soldiers threatened to kill him and add his head to the pile. Lee Raymond still owned Aceh's deteriorating war. And after Collingsworth's lawsuit, its potential legal liabilities as well. Notwithstanding its posture of independence and self-sufficiency in Washington, ExxonMobil had required the Bush administration to sort out GAM, and it would soon lobby the administration vigorously to quash Collingsworth's case. In a pinch, the corporation did not hesitate to seek and accept direct help from the United States. Managing civil violence in remote, complex countries would not prove to be one of ExxonMobil's notable competencies. Yet beyond Aceh, ExxonMobil's portfolio of risk-producing small wars would only grow.